Well, wonderful. Welcome, everybody. Okay, I am...
So you got to sit.
I've been told to sit. Next time I'll be told to heal, probably, so... Okay. 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 I want to welcome everybody to our CCB convention. And as things go, we can plan for the best. I hope that the worst doesn't happen, but sometimes it does. One of the presenters that I was planning on having here is somebody who does a lot of work with Android and was going to be able to do a presentation on Android accessibility, especially in terms of where they're going with Braille support. Unfortunately, that person had a family emergency, and we can't, they're coming in on their own dime, and when things like this happen, we can only hope that things aren't serious and they are doing fine. So, I will say that as far as having somebody from Ideal Group be here, it's unfortunately it's not going to happen. So I'll try and cover as much as I can. I am no expert in Android. I do use Android from time to time. Okay, it's being worked on right now, Mike. I don't know if you can hear me. It is being worked on right now. So the assistive, for those of you that use assistive listening devices, if it's not broadcasting, it's being worked on. I can hear, we have the people in the background working. So okay, here's the thing. I will speak briefly on what Android is doing and what we have, or what I have that is working right now and how it is working. I will also speak briefly about a Braille device that I use. One of the things that I've been asked about lately, not just CCB, but also in the general membership or general public out there, is how is Braille support being handled by this iOS stuff called Apple? And what is Apple doing to support the blind Braille reader? Well, Apple is doing a lot, actually. Apple has done a lot to try and ensure that we have access to Braille. I am a Braille user. I went to college as an auditory learner. I learned that I became a lousy speller and had no clue about formatting or anything. And so now I do a lot of stuff in Braille. I'm a Mac user. I use an iPad. I use an iPod. I use an iPhone. But I'm too cheap to pay AT&T the prices they want, so I canceled my service with them. Anyway, not that AT&T service is bad, because in some areas it's good, especially inside their own yard. Outside is a different story. So I hate to pick on them, but they just made me mad. Anyway, long story short is Braille stuff is here. And what I had done is asked several people from companies that some of us have as far as equipment manufacturers that we deal with. How many people have heard of HumanWare? I'm sure HumanWare is a common... All right. And we have Damian Pickering here from HumanWare. Later on, we have a representative from Hims Corporation. How many of you, like me, use a BrailleSense? Yeah. All right. And there's also this new BrailleEdge 40. And we'll hear about that as well. And then I will briefly talk about the device that I use, not by choice, but because I haven't bought the other one yet. I'm looking at the Brilliant because I really like the slim size of the Brilliant and the portability of it. But I will speak briefly about what I use and the device that I use and why I chose that device. Even though I'm just a recovering starving student having just finished a master's degree program, I am now pounding the pavement looking for a job. So when I can put the money together, I will upgrade to a different Braille display. Anyway, without further ado, I am going to turn the microphone over to Damien. Do we have a microphone for Damien? Does he have it in front of him? Damien, did you get a microphone? Okay, so I'm going to turn the microphone over to Damien. And folks, I hope you guys, if you have any questions, I'll let him tell you all about his products and what he's using, and have you guys, you know, go ahead and put him to task. Ask him questions. Keep him out of trouble. Damien, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Louie. And thanks to all of you for being here today and for having me back again this year. And so I am Damien Pickering. I'm the West Coast Blindness Products Representative for Human Wear. I recognize several voices in here, so I think many of us are acquainted already. And we will have a Human Wear booth here at the exhibits tomorrow and Saturday. So I definitely want to encourage you to come by, say hello. If you need to get a stream updated or a Trekker Breeze updated, or you have some product questions, I'm going to be joined throughout the conference by Gabe Griffith, who many of you know is a CCB member and also Human Wear tech support, excellent resource. So I'm always happy to work with Gabe. So we'll take care of you the best we can and be able to do a little hands-on and have more lengthy discussions than maybe we're able to get into today. So I do have with me a couple of Brailliant displays, our new line, which would it be helpful for me to pass these around so you can, you know, get a feel of it, or maybe the first or second time I'll get these going around. So I'll actually switch them. Let me have that one back for a second. Here we go. Okay, thanks.
No, yeah, Roger, you cannot have one. You have to give it back.
Okay, great. Hey, good to see you. So we have three flavors of the new Human Wear Brailliant, 32 cell, 40 cell, and I'm passing one of each of these around right now. And we also do an 80 cell display. I do not have one of those here today, but they are available. They're shipping. These are USB and Bluetooth displays. It's a Human Wear designed and manufactured product. So as many of you are aware, for many years, we carried the Balm Brailliant and Braille Connect lines. So this new Human Wear Brailliant, Brailliant was our trademark name, so we kept that. It's, you may recognize it as a little bit of a combination of kind of the best features of the two Balm displays that we carried for many years. They were very popular, very well designed. So we've maintained the lightweight, thin, sleek form factor. It's a very durable, lightweight aluminum housing, anodized aluminum housing that you'll have on these. So they can definitely stand up to some wear and tear, you know, be used. You may, those of you who are BrailleNote Apex users should have a familiar kind of experience here. We've got the signature thumb keys for ergonomic navigation so that you can keep your hands on the Braille display and yet be able to do your navigation with the thumb keys. Also, the Braille input keys, very similar to the Apex keys, but just a little bit shorter, kind of smaller keys, but still the same same feel, same low profile to the device. The Braille cells, it's the same supply chain, so the ultra-thin, high-quality cells that we use on the Apex. And then, not from the Apex line, but similar to the Balm Brailliant and Braille Connects, you have your three command buttons on either the left or the right of the Braille cell, the Braille line itself. So those are command keys 1 through 6. So 1, 2, 3 on the left, 4, 5, 6 on the right. Again, those Controls are used for navigation and commands, such as if you do like a letter H on the command key, so dots 1, 2, and 5, that's going to switch your keyboard help on and off. If you do a command D with those buttons, like a dot 1, 4, 5, that would minimize all apps and take you to the desktop. One of the things that I think HumanWare does a pretty good job of is really putting together some nice documentation. So on our website, we have, if you go to the support link and choose either Brailliant or Apex, you're going to find some documents that are really handy. There's a document called Using Apex as a Braille Display that gives comprehensive instructions for connecting the Apex to through either JAWS, WindowEyes, or an iOS device, along with all the commands that you can use and where you find the drivers and things like that. We have similar documents that are a little more targeted, kind of smaller in scope, just using Apex with iOS devices, where similarly it gives a little information about strengths, pros and cons of using an Apex by itself, using an iPad or iPhone or iPod by itself, and then the kind of the pros and cons of using the two together. So, you know, an iOS device with Braille input and output. Again, this document gives step-by-step instructions for connecting or pairing your Apex with an iOS device. And it also lists all the commands that you can use. Now, I do have a couple of, or a limited number of these documents in Braille. The one that's Apex and iOS, it's called Apex and iOS, A Winning Combination. So again, if you're interested in having that in hard copy Braille, come by our booth and I'll be able to give you a copy of that. But it is available on our website. Now, another one is Brailliant and iOS devices. So again, all the in one, you know, one place, all the instructions for pairing a device and all the commands you can use. Now, in iOS, as Louis was mentioning, Apple has done a really nice job of including accessibility in their off-the-shelf products. So VoiceOver is a full-fledged screen reader. You don't pay any extra for it. It's just there. The folks at the Apple stores, they may not be VoiceOver experts, but I've found that all of them can at least figure out how to turn the VoiceOver on, so that if you get one of their products, you know, you can walk out of the store with it talking. It's for those of you who are using an iPhone or iPod, iPad, a really handy feature, which many of you are probably already using, is to set the home key, the little round button at the bottom of the screen, so that when you triple click that button, that toggles VoiceOver on and off. So that way, if you ever get kind of hung up somewhere, or you know, VoiceOver stops talking, a lot of times that can be solved just by quickly turning it on and off. Plus, it makes it easy enough so that you could just switch off VoiceOver and hand it to one of your sighted friends, colleagues, and they'd be able to use it without you having to give a whole tutorial on, you know, how to use VoiceOver, because it does behave slightly differently, as I'm sure you know. The Braille support that is built into VoiceOver, I'm really proud of Apple that they've made such a commitment to that. There are, I mean, I don't even know how many Braille devices are supported. As of the last release of iOS, the 5.1, when the latest iPad was released, the Brilliant drivers for our new displays were finally released. We've been really waiting for that for quite some time. We knew that the drivers were ready and that people at Apple were using the displays internally, but you know, unfortunately, we didn't get that support until you know, fairly recently. But it's there now, and we're really thrilled about that. And a number of people have been waiting for that. Now, when I'm talking about the lists of commands that you can use with Apex or Brilliant, you know, I'd love to say that, you know, these are all just the special, you know, humanware Braille device commands. But again, the Braille support is just an automatic part of the voiceover Braille support. So, you know, even if you aren't an Apex or Brilliant user or aren't yet one, or you do have another device, if you're real nice, I will let you have one of these Braille documents anyway, because I think you'll just find that the command list is so handy. I mean, there are virtually every gesture that you could make on the touch screen, you know, to move by icon, you know, to double tap and open an app, to, you know, change pages, to, you know, read continuously, even control the rotors, mute speech, you know, put on the screen curtain. All of these commands, there are keyboard equivalents for. So I was going to say that, I mean, there are some subtle differences between the Apex and the Brilliant, simply because there are some different controls on the Brilliant. The Apex doesn't have those three command buttons, you know, at either end of the display, whereas the Brilliant does. So, for example, if you're in a document with, you know, on your iPad, for example, and you want to go to top of document, well, you know, note taker users would probably know to do dots 1, 2, 3 with the space bar and just go to top, or 4, 5, 6 with the space bar and go to the bottom. So those things, you know, there's a lot of intuitive crossover. Those commands are going to work in the iOS environment as well as, you know, what you've been used to. On the Brilliant, those things will work because you do have the full Braille input keys. But also those command keys will do some kind of parallel. So if you were to just do the command keys 1, 2, 3, that would take you to the top or beginning. It's like sending a home command, or 4, 5, 6, you know, to the bottom or end. So it's there's a lot of, you know, intuitive things. So with that, Why don't I check in with you all and see if you have some questions now that you've had a chance to, hopefully those displays are still going around the room and they're going to end up back on my table. Because not only would my, you know, boss be upset, but then I wouldn't have anything to show at the exhibit. But I'd be happy to entertain some questions or comments on any of this right now.
Damien, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. This is Louis. I have several people who have the Apex QWERTY, and they would like to use the Apex to control their iPhone, mm-hmm, primarily. And these people, of course, not being, they're learning Braille. They like the idea of being able to read some of the stuff. Some of them are okay with grade one Braille. Some of them are learning the grade two Braille. Nevertheless, their preferred method of input is a QWERTY keyboard. And one of the issues that they have been complaining about is sometimes when they want to execute a command or something, they seem to have a difficult time with the control option spacebar or control alt spacebar. Is there a reference guide for using the Apex QWERTY with Apple products?
That's a great question. Thank you, Louis. I'm glad this came up. So the QWERTY Apex, the support from iOS has been a little glitchy. That's for sure. Now, there isn't a guide for the QWERTY keyboard per se, but as of the latest release of Keysoft, version 9.2, that for those of you who missed the news flash, the big part of that was adding a PDF converter to the Apex. And as a footnote, we were also able to port that, make it available on the Empower line. So there is a Keysoft version 8.1 for the Empower that adds the PDF converter. Now, the sort of rider on the bill of Keysoft 9.2 was some support for the QWERTY Apex. But it's what it really is if you hit function with B on your Apex, that enables the home row keys so that then you can use, FDSA and JKL semicolon as Braille, like a Braille keyboard, and then you can do all the same Braille keyboard commands, and you would control your iOS device that way. So it's a little bit of a workaround, but in terms of if you actually enable that function B to do those home row keys, then the QWERTY Apex will do everything that the BT Apex will do. Is that Rob? As far as I understand, that was an issue that happened to the good folks at HIMS. 5.1 was, good news for us in that, we got the drivers for our Brilliant. It didn't change that.
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but for our people listening on the web, could you repeat Rob's question? So for those that are listening on the streaming channel, could also hear the question.
The question was there something in the 5.1 release that, there were some driver support or some keyboard issues that were broken with that release? I'm going to defer that question to the representative from HIMS because I believe there were some of the HIMS products that were affected, and I'll let that person kind of let you know how that's being addressed. My understanding is that they're working on that. The HumanWare drivers were not adversely affected. The drivers for our Brilliant line were released as of 5.1, so it was only good news for HumanWare. Yes, another question. Hi, Judy. Mm-hmm. So Judy's question is more of comment and question, that there are still problems pairing devices, Braille devices with the iOS? And, you know, do other people experience that? Well, I am absolutely certain that you are not alone in that process. I think for the most part, it goes pretty well. It's gotten better and better. In my experience, the iPhone, especially the 4 or the 4S, seem to pair with, you know, either the, you know, my devices, the Apex or the Brailliant, you know, really well. I've had a little bit more difficulty with the iPads. I haven't tried the latest one, but the iPad 2 seems to be a little bit more temperamental. It does seem to me that if you're kind of in the privacy of your home or office, you know, and there aren't many, many other Bluetooth devices around, that it goes a little more smoothly. Sometimes in a big conference setting like this, or in an exhibit hall, it just, you know, takes a while longer. Sometimes it seems like, you know, if you've got the pairing there, and it's, you know, just not working real well, then I go in and dismiss the pairing and then do the connection process over again, and then that seems to help. But, you know, that's one of the, you know, the realities. I mean, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of buzz with this. I mean, it's really neat to be able to, you know, go, you know, onto some websites that maybe you couldn't go on, you know, just with your note taker alone. And now through Safari and the iOS, you can get there and have Braille support. And they really complement each other well. I mean, it's amazing that a touch screen can be accessible and you can type a text message or an email. But, you know, for my, you know, tastes, I really like being able to have that Braille device, not just the Braille, but the built-in keyboard. I find that if I'm typing more than a couple of words or maybe a sentence, I like having the keyboard. So it really lets me, you know, do emails and text messages and even do work things. Yeah, instead of doing it on the phone a lot. So there are benefits, but there are drawbacks too. It's definitely something that should happen. I mean, in limited, you know, cases, we've had to involve tech support, but, you know, by and large, it's just one of those, you know, where you kind of restart your devices, you know, start from scratch, forget the pairing, just go through, do it again, familiarize yourself with, you know, where the virtual keyboard appears, so that, you know, when you're ready to enter the pin, that, you know, you do it, because it, you do have limited time. You know, I find, you know, it's definitely doable without sight, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't think there's any shame in getting some sighted assistance to get that pairing established the first time and, you know, hope for the best. But it's a great question, Judy, and, you know, I don't have any better news than, you know, you have the moral support of everybody in here, because we've all been there. You bet. Well, like I said, you're welcome. Anybody have the experience of entering text with a Braille device, you know, either an email or a text message? Anybody want to comment on, you know, some of the quirkiness of that? Because that's another reality people should be aware of.
Who's speaking?
Mike has a question.
Okay. Coming, Mike.
Okay, we've got a question from Mike, and I'll rephrase the question.
I apologize, but when I was looking at the display, I couldn't find the space bar. I found the keys.
Mm-hmm. But I couldn't on the Brilliant, Mike's question was he didn't notice the space bars on the device. There are actually two space bars, and they're on the very front edge in front of the Braille cells, kind of in the middle. And so if you have your fingers lined up on the Braille keys, we just find that having the two, so if you're doing a command that primarily involves your right hand, you kind of use the right thumb key. If you're using a command that primarily involves the left hand, then the left space bar. But the space bars are completely interchangeable, sort of a redundancy that's there.
Okay, Marlena, I'm coming, Marlena.
Hi, Damien. It's Marlena. It's nice to see you.
Hi.
They imported me in from Washington. I am using a Braille Connect 12 with my iPhone, which I think you guys don't make anymore or sell anymore. But I really love it. And you wanted a comment about entering text.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered a couple of interesting things. For me, I find it's much easier to learn the few things I need to know about computer Braille and write in the uncontracted Braille. Sorry, my dog wants to leave. Rather than try to do grade 2. But the other thing that I found particularly with the Braille Connect 12, and I think this is true with some of these other devices, the action when you Braille, you know, you try to Braille an M, and you get a P or an O or something. And I've discovered that if I quickly press a dot at a time, so instead of 1, 3, 4 together, I would press 1, 3, 4, that my error rate goes way down and my speed goes way up. And to me, that's just been a really helpful thing to discover, both using the uncontracted Braille and pressing on these small devices a dot at a time rather than all the dots together.
You know, that's a great comment. Thank you. It resonates. I mean, I hadn't fully, discovered that, but that's something I'm going to try. And your comment about using uncontracted Braille, I could see why that would could make sense. Because, again, and this is not an Apex or a Brilliant issue. This is across all Braille devices connecting to iOS. It's part of the Braille support. If you have grade 2 Braille or contracted Braille enabled, the translator, I mean, it's great to be able to, you know, to type in grade 2 Braille, but it's a little quirky in that if you don't Braille pretty rapidly and consistently, you get some really strange things. So in other words, if you pause in the middle of a word, like say you're typing the word land and you type the L and then you got distracted or paused, it's going to write like, L-I-K-E, you know, because it thinks that you're done. It doesn't wait for the space bar. It waits for the pause. And so then if you continued on and you wrote the, you know, the A-N-D sign, then you would have L-I-K-E-A-N-D. So, you know, people raise that issue quite a bit. And you know, because, if you're typing a small note or something, you kind of know what you're already going to say, and you just think in words and you make sure that you pause kind of when you hit the space and not before, you'll do okay. But if you're really composing you know, if you're doing poetry or writing an essay or a memo or something, I mean, most people are kind of thinking as they're writing, and so it's not as smooth and fluid a process. And that underscores a point that I think it's important to make, is that the iOS devices, by and large, are content consumption devices. So it's you know, easy to find information, to download books, you know, apps, you know, do things, entertainment, you know, play music, you know, all of those kinds of things. But you know, your primary note taker, your apex for the purpose of this discussion, is a content creation device. You know, so the features and functions that are there, you know, for formatting documents, you know, interacting with those types of things, composing documents, you know, I think it's a little more efficient to do that. Now, a nice thing, when you do have an Apex connected to an iPhone or an iPad, it is a really smooth process to be able to switch back and forth. So you can leave that pairing kind of active and running and, you know, exit out to your word processor and, you know, look up some information or, you know, type something, and then, you know, switch back, kind of that hotkey switch method where you would use your backspace, your enter, and your T for terminal mode. That will take you right out of your word processor, your planner, or wherever you were referencing something, and it'll just put you back in that active pairing. So it is sometimes nice to be able to jump back and forth like that. Other comments or questions?
Damien, this is Louis. I've experienced something kind of interesting. I like using contracted Braille, and of course saw the same problems and really got to the point where it was more frustrating, so I went to using uncontracted Braille. However, I also had another issue where if I use 6-dot versus 8-dot Braille, sometimes if I'm using 6-dot Braille and I go and use the dot 4-6. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, 4-6 to indicate a period or a period. I would get this the voiceover telling me that I'm putting in a underscore.
Underscore. Yeah.
And or if I'm using or if I put in a period, I get a number 4. That's 2-5-6. So when I enabled dots, when I set it up for 8-dot Braille, yeah, I had to get used to the dot. You know, you know how in grades in 6-dot Braille, dot 6 indicates a capital letter. Well, now it's I don't have that dot 6 anymore. I have a dot 7 or yeah, I think it's dot 7. Anyway, that's another thing that I found to be rather interesting. So now I just let my device default to 8-dot Braille display, and it seems to be more consistent that way. And I haven't had people wondering what kind of drugs I'm taking because my message don't make any sense.
Right. That's also very helpful. Thank you for that.
I'm
using... The question is, are we using ASCII Braille in the 8-dot mode?
I was trying to clarify with Louis that you're actually using ASCII Braille with dot, holding down dot 7 to make an uppercase letter and that
correct.
Sort of thing.
Is correct.
Old-fashioned. Us old folks remember ASCII Braille, you know.
Well, so us old folks like that stuff because it works.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit ironic in that this is the cutting-edge technology. This is, you know, where... Who would have imagined 5 years ago what we would be carrying in our pockets and the types of things we'd be doing? And yet, in some ways, it's, you know, there's some retro, you know, there's some, you know, throwback that our workarounds are, you know, going back to uncontracted and ASCII Braille and things like that. It is interesting. Ironic. Yeah, computer Braille. It's character by character, like uncontracted Braille, and yet there are many symbols. It's basically for having Braille interact, you know, on a computer environment. So each punctuation mark, for example, has a unique symbol to represent it. So that it's a little different than simple. It's one to one. Yeah, it's not like in Braille where one symbol can mean different things depending on the context.
When you have a question, folks, could you please stand up and I'll bring you the mic? That way those folks who are listening via the web will be able to hear your question as well. And I see that we have a question again from Mike.
Does the Braille Connect drivers, do they care whether you have for your on-screen keyboard, whether you have set it up for standard typing or touch typing? Because I've noticed with the HIMSS driver, if you have it set up for touch typing, it can confuse the HIMSS driver, and there's no input from the Braille display. So,
what he's asking is, on the iOS devices, there's touch typing. There's two typing modes, and he's saying that when it's in which typing mode, Mike? Touch typing. That when it's in touch typing mode, that it sometimes interferes with the Braille display drivers. Do you find that true with the Brilliance?
I haven't found that, but I'm not going to be the definitive answer on that. I mean, is there anybody else who's got some experience, you know, who's encountered that with an Apex or a Brilliant? Yeah, I
Marlena says she hasn't had that problem.
Yeah, I personally you know, kind of switch back between touch typing and standard typing on an iOS device. It just seems, I don't know if it's, you know, I get bored and, you know, I want to spice up my life, or I, you know, certain situations just seem to call for different methods. And just for those who aren't aware, the two typing methods are, one, you can slide your finger along the touch screen, and each letter or icon that will, for purposes of typing, each letter or number that you encounter, it speaks it, and when you find the one you want, you lift your finger, and then that character that you last touched is entered. The other method is where you touch the letter with one finger, and then you tap the screen anywhere with a second finger, and that enters the character. So it's, you know, you can practice with both of those. And I also find the when you're using an iPad, it's a larger screen. You know, it has, you know, very similar applications, almost identical to the iPod or the iPhone, just a bigger screen. I always thought that, you know, that was an obvious advantage to somebody who's sighted or low vision, who was, you know, wanting that extra real estate. I was more comfortable with the smaller screen on the iPod Touch or the iPhone, just because I kind of felt like, well, things are closer together, so it's more economy of motion for me to control that. But that said, when you do typing on the iPad, you have enough space that it's almost like a regular size keyboard. And so whereas on the smaller device, I find myself using just one or two fingers and kind of going very slowly to enter the text, I can use, you know, more like touch typing on a regular typewriter and do a lot faster because of the larger space. So again, I mean, each device and each situation has subtle differences, kind of strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Another question.
This is Judy again. If you're inputting with a Braille device, is it better to set the typing mode to one or the other?
That was kind of the prior question. Apparently, you know, the way the drivers are, some devices are more sensitive to that than others. I have not yet found that to be the case with HumanWare devices, but I'm going to, you know, I just kind of switch back and forth at random, so I'm going to have to, you know, maybe come by the booth and I'll have, you know, I'm going to try this out and just see if it, you know, if I find it does make any difference. I don't think it does. Mike just felt with his device that, you know, that touch typing, I think he said, seemed to the device would get confused if the iOS was set a certain way.
I'm asking what.
So the two modes, and in terms of Braille support, I don't necessarily think
there
is.
What are they for to begin with?
So the touch or standard typing is one, you slide your finger on the touch screen until the letter you want is spoken, and then lift your finger and the character is entered in your edit field or document. I think they call that touch, and then standard is the other way where you find the character you want, you know, when it's spoken, then you tap the screen with another finger while leaving that finger, you know, the original finger touched.
That's what I was trying to get at.
So those are the two methods. And you get to those with the rotor control. And again, I mean, that's sort of the amazing thing of these touchscreen devices is that it's just, you know, a whole slate. And the screen can kind of morph to whatever controls or, you know, things are needed. So in the case of the iOS device, anytime, you know, this is across any application, you know, anywhere you are, you put two fingers on the screen or a thumb and a finger and just twist it either clockwise or counterclockwise as though you were spinning a dial or a knob. Then you have different settings like that. Then your volume setting is there. Your speech rate control could be there, for example. And that's where if you're in an edit field and you spin that rotor, you're going to eventually come across typing mode. And once you're there, you can do a vertical flip, flick up or down, and that changes between touch typing and standard typing. So you
I was going into curmudgeon mode and going to argue that touch typing is standard typing. You see,
I wouldn't disagree with you, Roger.
Isn't so much a question as a comment. There's a caveat about that typing mode in the rotor. It's only available in the rotor if you're actually on an edit field that you're about to edit. That's the only time it's available.
I didn't quite get that. Either.
Well, the typing in the rotor,
right?
The typing mode isn't available in the rotor. You won't hear it unless you're actually in an editing field.
Okay,
it doesn't matter what it is, but if you're not editing an edit field, you won't find the typing rotor.
Right. So Mike's comment is the typing the control to change the method of typing is not available, doesn't show up in that rotor control unless you're in an edit field. So the rotor control, yes, it is available anywhere on, you know, any screen, any application, but it is context sensitive in that depending on where you are when you do activate the rotor, it helps determine what is going to be available to you. Also, in the settings menu, you do have some ability to decide whether or want, like, say, for example, if you want speech rate to be in the rotor, included in the rotor or not. Another question? Yep. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. We all have had the experience of wrestling with various iPhone apps, some of which are more accessible than others. To what degree does the use of a Braille device, such as the Brilliant or the Apex, exacerbate or mitigate those variations?
So Steve's coming from the spoken like an attorney, I would have to say. I think that can only be answered on a case by case, person to person basis. It depends on how important that Braille support is to you. I mean, I find that for most things, the Braille access to working with a Braille device and an iOS device, the two really complement one another. But there are things like pulling it out of the air, the Looktel Money Reader app. I don't see that necessarily, would be enhanced by Braille. I mean, it's just once you open the app, the way it works is you hold a bill in front of the camera, 6 to 12 inches away, and it automatically speaks the denomination of the bill. Now, to download the app, to go onto the App Store and download that app in the first place, I think, is a little easier with a Braille device than without. So, I just think people may have different opinions on that.
I wonder if I could just add a comment to that, Damien. I see it similarly, although in my case I look at it just in terms of having a bimodal sensory approach, in the sense that you get both your Braille and your speech. So in an application like Read2Go, from Bookshare, you're able to, not only can you hear the book being read, but you're able to read it on the Braille display. And so I think, in certain applications, that Braille can make a huge difference.
That's a great comment, and I think really true, Rob. And that brings up another point, is that with VoiceOver, it's aptly named because, it talks. And if you don't have a Braille device, then speech is muted, it's not going to do us any good at all. But if you do have a Braille device and you mute speech, then that allows VoiceOver is still running, but it allows you to interact with your applications and control your device without it blurting everything out, so that everyone else in the room knows, what you're doing, or, can hear your text messages, or, whatever. So that, that's a real enhancement, I think, that Braille brings to that, to be able to just operate in kind of that silent mode. Also, say if you're listening to music on the iPod or the music part of the iPhone, you can, from your Braille display, you can be hitting the play pause button, with your router key, or previous track, next track, you know, searching for, you know, music, doing all that. You can control it with your Braille device, which is great. And if speech is running, then speech is kind of, you know, blurting out, you know, while your music is playing too. So again, there's a situation where muting speech is nice. You can still be kind of going, oh, who's this artist? And, you know, searching and, you know, doing things without disturbing the music.
Just want to make a comment. This is Louis. For those of you that are interested in some of these devices, on the Apple website, on their accessibility website, under support for Braille displays, there are quick reference guides for the various products. The Brilliant is up there. So is the Apex. For those of you that want to use those product-specific codes, you can get a listing of them. There's also a generic one that will have you use chord keys, like, for example, .36 would be your select or enter key instead of pressing your enter button on your device if your device has got a specific enter key. So some of the devices that aren't, are somewhat supported, you can still operate using your QWERTY-style Braille display keyboard and input commands that way using those hotkeys. I don't recall the actual website URL, but I'm pretty sure that it is not difficult to find. If you go to the Apple website and you do a search on Braille display commands or Braille display support, it should take you to that location.
Another command that I would like people to be aware of, you know, if you haven't had time to go to the website and pull down some of these documents, or, you know, you didn't make it by our table and grab this one, if you're connected with your Apex or your Brilliant to iOS, and I'm guessing, you know, other devices as well, if you do space with .1 and .3, that puts, it kind of pulls up VoiceOver Help and gives you a list of commands that you can go through and review right there on the spot. And then a chord B, .1 and .2, will back you out of that sort of that help mode. Mm-hmm. Is that Marlena?
I had my hand up and the mic appeared. there's also, I actually have a question and a comment. There's also an Apple accessibility support phone number. And it is, if I can get to it, hang on. Sorry, I was right there. Okay. 877-204-3930. And I haven't used it, but I know many people who have, and people rave about it on the lists and say that the people who actually person it really know what they're doing, and they are specifically dedicated to primarily voiceover, but to all accessibility-related questions. So I wanted to share that. And then,
but before you go on, could you repeat the number one more time?
Yeah, sure. 877-204-3930.
Thank you.
And then I just had a comment that might be off topic, and so please feel free to say so. But in talking about the rotor, I've discovered that since iOS 5 and my 4S, I can't always keep my VoiceOver volume where I want it to be when I have to respond. You know, your taxi's outside, press 4. You know, on my 4 and my 3G, the voiceover volume stayed very consistent. But, and I'm wondering if anyone else has experienced that and if anyone has a solution to, you know, I'll set it at 100%. And then I'll go to have to respond with one of those touch 1 for this and 5 for that. And all of a sudden, I can't hear voiceover very well. And I'm just wondering if anyone else has experienced that. Thank you.
Can I answer that? Can I comment on that one, Damien?
Mm-hmm,
okay. Marlena, this is a problem that I am working with several people who are having the same situation. I unfortunately have it worse. It switches languages on me. So, yes, I can speak Spanish. Yes, I can speak some Italian and understand Italian. But when you start talking about Chinese or other languages, I'm lost. So, this is a message, a comment, and problem question that I have submitted to Apple. And I've also have spoken with several people about certain techniques on how to lock down certain settings, because you don't want to have the device change in the middle of doing something and then have you get out. Especially me, I'm getting to the point where in my teenage years, I get frustrated easily. So, it is an issue. It is a problem. It has been noted. And it has started happening to me after iOS 5.0. So, you know, that's, I don't know what Apple was doing and how much testing was done, but what can I tell you? If we get an answer, I will pass it along.
This is Don Wilcox. I got a generic question. I spent years and years learning the Windows systems, you know, and now they're telling me that it's all Apple. Are you think Apple's going to continue doing this voiceover? Is this just a fluke? And do we all need to change to a new system? I haven't got the money.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this much. We now have choices. Before, everybody was ranting and raving about everything they could do with their Macs, and we couldn't do any of it. We now have an even playing field in most respects. There are certain things that are not supported very well with the Apple operating system, but it does give us an upper edge. The most important thing is that a consumer who is on a fixed income doesn't have to go out and spend thousands of dollars on assistive technology software because it's all built in. And so that makes it easier. The nice thing about it also is because they have the philosophy at Apple is an all-inclusive philosophy. We're getting products now that anybody can go out and buy. I was just at the Apple store not too long ago, a couple of days ago, and it's good to see blind people showing sighted people how to do things that they can't do. So it says a lot. Anyway, long story short is that a lot of this availability of assistive technology, it's a choice. If you own a Mac, you don't have to get away from Windows. You can still use Windows. You can boot up in Windows mode. I run Windows 7 on my Mac. I also run Windows iOS. At one point, I had a mental relapse and loaded Linux on it as well. So, you know, I mean, open source and Linux is here to stay. We just need to know how to support it. And some of us have to, you know, we're going to come across pitfalls here and there. And that's a topic for another session. But the most important objective today was to show you that HumanWare is committed and has a great deal of stuff to offer in terms of Braille accessibility to Apple products and iOS devices.
In closing my session, we have really focused on the iOS world, but I do want to let you know that There are brilliant drivers for NVDA and system access as well as JAWS. We do have a signed driver with JAWS for either 32 or 64-bit. The drivers are included in the latest version of WindowEyes, maybe back one version, but you know, definitely they're there. And then if they're not updated already, our support pages will be updated with the system access and NVDA information very soon.
Wonderful.
And I still think I'm missing one Braille display.
Do you think I'm going to give it back to you? No, actually, it's in my handset. I was hoping he wouldn't notice it. But I have to be honest. While we were talking here, folks, I paired it up with my iPad, and I was very impressed with it. And I think I may have to negotiate with Damien for a trade-in.
All right, well, let's talk.
Listen,
you know where to find me.
Yes, we'll talk. I want to thank Damien for taking the time to be here and show us this product. I think it's wonderful. Let's give him a hand, please. And is James here? Oh, James McCarthy is here. Okay, we're going to take about a five-minute break here and let James come up here. And so, folks, how about a four-and-a-half inning stretch since we're in the baseball season? And we'll be back shortly. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back. Okay. I am very honored to have somebody who has been in the industry for a long time, who can tell us a lot of things. I think he and Roger are the godfathers of technology here. James McCarthy works for Hims Corporation. They make all sorts of interesting products. Some of them are for them sighted people, and some of them are for us cool blind people. You know, ordinary blind people can also use Braille displays too, or note takers. And semi-cool low-vision people. I better be careful. My wife's partially sighted, so is my friend Stephanie, so is Bernice, so I'm treading on thin ice here. Okay, we've been talking about Braille displays, and you guys heard from Damien regarding the Brilliant and what HumanWare is doing with the other products. Well, I can tell you that I have been using Hims products for a while. I have a BrailleSense Plus. That thing probably has more miles on it. I wish it would be giving us points and give us bonuses for amount of usage, because if there was a counter of how many keystrokes that sucker has taken, I can tell you that I'd probably be up there with the big-time users, because I use it a lot. I have my GPS software with it. I also pair it up with my computers and work it as a Braille display. And most recently, of course, before Apple decided to pull a Microsoft thing and screw us over, I wouldn't say that. Something that wasn't, it was unexpected. Basically, what happened is this. We went from iOS 5.0 to 5.1. All of a sudden, the Braille display is working. I can still feel the Braille, and I was excited. Oh, cool. Everything's great. I went to do some operations using the Perkins keyboard. Nothing. I wanted to scroll up and down using the navigation keys, the scroll keys. Nothing. But the Braille display is still functioning. I can use my finger and navigate around the screen on the iPad or the iPhone, and the Braille display would adjust and function like it's supposed to. So this is a problem that's being worked on, and I will let James talk about this more. So I want you guys to give a welcome to James McCarthy from Hims Corporation.
Thank you very much.
And when I walked in for the past half hour, thank you very much, and thank you, Louis and other members of the technology committee for inviting me as a representative of HIMSS here. Okay, sorry. Maybe I should get rid of this microphone and just use my voice. Okay. I just have to swallow the microphone. There we go. Well, thank you, everyone, for inviting me as a representative from HIMSS here today. I do see or have heard a number of people's voices here that I've known over the years. As many of you may know, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm currently living in Austin, Texas. I'm the president of HIMSS, Inc. That is our North American office based in Austin, Texas, where we do everything other than the engineering and manufacturing of the product, which is done in Daejeon, South Korea, which is a city in the middle of the country of South Korea. And it's, interestingly and appropriately enough, it's the Silicon Valley of South Korea. And here I am in the Silicon Valley of America. Well, almost. We're in San Francisco, I guess, technically. So our office does all of the sales, marketing, technical support, repair service, shipping, administration, customer service. Like I say, anything other than engineering and manufacturing of the products. By the way, some of you may have seen my wife, Debbie, here. She's up here with me. She's sitting between Louie and I to keep Louie and I apart. But she's actually, every now and then, she may ask Louie to verify something on the Braille for us. But Debbie, with our BrailleSense U2, it has a built-in LCD window, so Debbie can actually read what the Braille display has on it. But sometimes she may just ask Louis to verify that, just to make sure there's not a lag between the Braille display and the LCD display. And Debbie, actually, today is our 29th anniversary. And she just kicked me under the table. I've heard rumors that since I moved to Austin, Texas, that we're not married anymore. And whenever someone says that, I say, whoops, I better call her. But she still operates Freedom Vision, which is a low vision products showrooms company in Mountain View. And so she's up here as playing Vanna White today. And what I'm going to talk about, and as you all probably know, I'm not the Braille expert of the company. We have Scott Hagley is our sales manager. Scott's on the East Coast today. We have Jenny Axler, who's our technical support specialist, and she's also a blind user. And we just hired a new person who we'll announce in 2 weeks in our company, who will be our second technical support person. Some of you may have called in previously and spoken with Seth LeBlond. Seth worked for us for a year in tech support, did a great job, but he relocated to Phoenix, Arizona recently, and he's going to be getting married in June or July. So, yeah, some of you may have known Seth over the years. So I'll talk about the U2, our new BrailleSense U2, and our new Braille Edge 40, which HIMSS has not had a product in the product category of the 40-cell Braille display units before, so we do now. And both of these products are actually shipping as of today. So I'll start with the BrailleSense U2. BrailleSense U2 is replacing our BrailleSense Plus Perkins-style keyboard model, and that's the model that's shipping as of today. We also have the BrailleSense Plus QT, or QWERTY keyboard version. That model will continue until mid to late May, when the BrailleSense U2 QWERTY will begin shipping. So there's a lag between the BrailleSense U2 Perkins keyboard, which is shipping now, and the BrailleSense QWERTY version, which will begin shipping in mid to late May. The prices are the same for the product, so there's no price increase, but a lot of features increase, both hardware and software. Some of the hardware increases, just to give you a comparison, the BrailleSense Plus operated at a CPU speed of 520 megahertz. the new U2 operates with a mobile CPU at 1 gigahertz. So that sounds like it's double, but actually CPU speed is more than just a mathematical multiplication or division, and so that's actually quite a bit faster. It has, the U2 has 32 gigabytes of onboard storage. The previous BrailleSense Plus, 8 gigabytes, so four times the memory storage. BrailleSense Plus had 128 megabytes of RAM. The new U2, 256 megabytes of RAM. So significant increase there in the actual performance. I was actually a couple of weeks ago at the Vista Center doing a little presentation there, and John Glass, who many of you may know from the Bay Area, he was there, and he's a BrailleSense user, and we downloaded a Steve Jobs book. It's 603 or 630 pages. We were using the server of Vista Center. It was a bit slow on the download. It was about 115 kilobytes per second. So it took about 30 minutes to download that 600-plus page book. Then to unzip it, to unzip a book like that with BrailleSense Plus would have taken 45 minutes to an hour. It took 6.5 minutes with the U2. And that's the hardware performance increase of the specs that I just read to you. And everyone that was in that room, I think Rob Turner was there. Yep, there you go. I thought I heard your voice earlier. Rob can verify that. everyone was quite impressed that with the increase in the performance with the unzipping. So we do have actually new hardware. It looks a slight bit different. We no longer have, for example, the compact flash port. We've added an extra USB port in there. It now supports SD cards up to 64, so the eight high definition, the SDHD up to 64 gigabytes. So you can feel the ports. We'll actually pass it around during this session just so you can feel what ports are there. But we discontinued the compact flash and we put an extra USB port on it. That's about it for the important hardware changes. On the firmware side, it's currently shipping with version 6.2, which, by the way, for all users, even if you go back to the BrailleSense Classic, all firmware updates from HIMSS are free. We normally come out with two updates per year. This year we're coming out with three. There's 6.2 currently out that was released in late January. Probably by the end of this month, we will introduce version 7.0. And in the fall, we'll introduce version 7.01. So this year there was three firmware updates, and each of them is free. Just post it on our website. Go there and download it. So we call that a benefit of cost of ownership, because when you buy a HIMSS Braille display or voice display product, you don't have to buy software maintenance agreement. You don't have to pay for updates. They're always free. So for some of the firmware updates that are coming out is, for example, at Bookshare, the U2 has a search and download. So you can actually search for your book, and it'll find it and download it. And that also worked pretty quick when we tried that at Vista Center a couple of weeks ago. So searching for the book and finding the book also worked very, very quickly. That may have been more impressive, actually, to me than the actual unzip speed, because I expected the unzip speed to be better from the hardware performance improvements, but I didn't quite know how good the searching would work. So that's one major feature. Another feature of the 7.0 when it comes out is going to be advanced formatting for printing out to an embosser in particular. So that's another major increase, major feature. Let's see. The iOS devices, just to talk about iOS access. Actually, I have iOS access up here because I have an iPhone and an iPad that has iOS 5.0. So that's the uninhibited version, when version 5.1 came out, unbeknownst to us. Previously, the HumanWare Brill display products had some access issues, but Apple seemed to solve that. But in the process of doing that, they caused a break with the Brill Sense HIMS products and also with products from Balm. So that's what they're fixing with the patch that they were hoping to get out by the end of March, but had some difficulty. So it's kind of touch and go any day now, any week now. They hope to release a patch that will solve this problem for all the HIMS Braille Sense users out there and any other problems they're having to solve. But what I have now is working on 5.1 up here. I have my iPad working with the Braille Sense U2. And I'll get the iPhone working with the Braille Edge. And we'll pass these products around. So just going back to some of the firmware improvements. This was actually done not so much from the battery, although the battery is different in the U2 than in the Plus. So if someone is upgrading, be aware you cannot use the same battery that you used in your Braille Sense Plus with your Braille Sense U2. The battery of the U2 will last 17 hours, but we have to change the battery type to get that actual 17-hour battery performance. So 17 hours on a full charge. When the Braille Edge, when I talk about Braille Edge will actually work for 20 hours. So why don't I just have Louis go ahead and just confirm that it's working there. There's a photo that shows up here.
Slideshow photo.
All right, it's working. It's working. You can see the photo?
You guys ought to see the picture. It looks great. The dots are just perfect. How do we get rid of those? You want a dot by dot description?
I may have to turn this off and back on again. There we go. I think we're good. All right. Is it working? Is it moving around there, Louis?
Nope.
All right. I think I'm just going to have to reconnect it here. Give me a moment. I have to turn it off to get it out of a picture mode and turn it right back on.
Those famous visuals, I tell you. And there it is. Look at this. It's working.
All right.
Accessibility. Voice over. Heading. Airplane mode. Off. Wi-Fi. Not. Calendar.
Actually, it's me moving the things around. I'm playing with the.
As Louis is moving around, you can hear the voiceover talking on the iPad. Well, you can go ahead and move around.
Okay, let's see. He's got 250 new emails. Wow. Photos?
Don't open those, Louis. Don't open those.
Let's see. Does his wife wants to see what kind of email he gets? Let's see. Yeah. So, yeah. As I'm navigating around using the advanced command, which is core.4, it is reading everything.
61% back.
Now, I can also...
Bluetooth connected, 4:53 p.m., status bar item.
I can also use the navigating the buttons, arrows to go scroll up and down, and it still works the same.
Bluetooth connected, 61% battery power.
Now it's in the British language.
Bluetooth
So,
if you go into notes, there's some notes there.
Okay, I see.
Bluetooth connected. Status bar item. 4:54 p.m. iPad. Status bar item.
I don't think there's anything confidential.
Bluetooth 61. Calendar. Contacts. Notes. Maps. Notes.
Notes.
Double tap to open.
Go into today.
Notes. 19 notes.
Today.
Search. Search feed. Notes list. Choi. Tues. Hi. My name is Scott. Hello. My name is Sales. March 22. Do. Liz. E-commerce. Markets. 19 notes. Search. Search. Note. Choi. Hi. Hello. Sale. 2. E-com. Market. 2000 and. Rig. March 7. Accounting. February 2012. Sales. 4. Scott. February 3rd. Button. Posters. January 18. Tiffany. January 18th, Asia Orlando, December 2012 plan, December 4th, add button. 19 days ago, March 24th, 6:28.
What we're actually doing is, Louis is actually navigating, you know, from the BrailleSense U2 on the iPad. And all you're doing is listening to the iPad's voiceover tell you where he's at, what he's doing.
So basically, all I was doing is I was scrolling. I used the code 123 to go to the very top, and then I just use the navigation key to scroll down through the list of his notes. So,
yeah, he almost read the sales forecast. He almost read. I would have claimed it's a fake for sales forecast. The hello, my name is Scott was actually put in there. Scott Hagley recently did a video that is currently being edited, and then it's going to be put on our website, which is a demonstration of how to connect to the iPhone and the iPad using the U2 and the Braille Edge. So that hopefully will be on our website by the end of next week. Website is www.hims, that's H-I-M-S, -inc.com. And every month there's promotions, so you can actually check out what the promotion is. You can find the promotions. If you can access the text tag in the banner, you can click on that, and it'll give you more details from one of the link pages. Or you can go to the news tab across the top, and that should take you to the news article for the month that describe which promotions are being run that month. I know this month one of the promotions is a 5% discount on BrailleSense U2 or the Braille Edge 40. So 5% discount for any. Actually, this month it says it's an educational discount. Fact of the matter is, if you call up, we'll extend a discount to everyone. Okay. The website, it's HIMS, H-I-M-S, -INC, I-N-C, .com. And you can always call an 800 number, too. So if any of you were taking notes on that, the 800 number for HIMSS is 888-520-4467. And 4467 spells HIMSS. Yeah, I thought it was clever when I got that.
There we go. What was the question? Where's the person with the microphone?
She just brought it to me. This is Judy Wilkinson again. I'm unfamiliar. I've seen your little, what is it called, on hand or one hand?
BrailleSense on hand.
And since this is a new device, your new U2, could you just kind of run down what its, what its features are? What, does it have a GPS and so forth? Could you just kind of give us a quick rundown? Does it do, can it read HTML? Does it get streaming on? What does it do generally? Yep.
Certainly I can give you some specifications, but shout out if you want to know yes or no if it does something, because it does a whole lot. It actually will download more than 20 file formats. So the answer for HTML is definitely yes. Let's see if I can even read some of them off the brochure. The brochure is actually more limited now. Do we have the other brochure, Debbie? The full one? It's actually more limited now than it was before, but online you can get a lot of the specs. One of the things that it's improved on is it now works on Wi-Fi in all three modes. What is that? The G, the N, and let's see. WGN, is it? I'm just looking at a spec here. It's probably at the
BGN.
BGN, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here we go with some of what it... You know what? I'm going to actually ask Debbie to read some of these out to you. So, Debbie, if you don't mind. Because she can just read it right off the brochure. There's, like I say, 20 different file formats. It does, you know, doc files, does docx files. That's one of the things people like, that it does docx. Not all the products out there do the docx files. Okay, so Debbie's just going to read this.
Okay, so the text files. Okay, HBL, docx, let's see. RTF, TXT, BRL, BRF, EPUB, PDF, HTML, XML through the web browser. Then you want media files? Mm-hmm. Okay, media files, MP3, MP4, WAV, ASF, OGG, WMA, M4A, M3U, PLS, Audible, WMV, FLAC, MID, AAC. DAISY? Okay, DAISY contents, DAISY 2.0, 2.02, 3.0, then was it NIMAS 1.1, Bookshare.org, NLS, Open Library, and recording files are MP3 and WAV.
That answers some of the questions. One thing is about that the book, our BookSense does NLS and Learning Ally, or the former RFBND formats. The BrailleSense Plus does not have access to the Learning Ally or RFBND. It does for NLS. It does not with the RFBND. Actually, it works. We tested it. It works with Learning Ally, but when we asked Learning Ally to confirm the testing, they said that they had just stopped the previous Friday from testing any new devices. So they can't give our users the access, the capabilities inside of the BrailleSense, but. RFBND. So we don't know what they're doing, if they're going to a completely new format. Some of you may know more about what they're doing than even we know, but we're thinking if they put a stop on testing any new devices, that could only be because of lack of staff or because they're considering going to a totally new format. And I think it's the latter, but they're not disclosing that. GPS, the BrailleSense on hand and our BrailleSense U2 models, we'll all have, the BrailleSense on hand currently does, the BrailleSense Plus does not, but the BrailleSense U2 will have the built-in GPS receiver. This means you can purchase, for example, the Sendero GPS maps and just add them on by us giving you the key code to unlock it. You can download that off the internet. You don't need to send your product in. You don't need to buy a separate external receiver. And have that, on your shoulder, a backpack, somewhere near you. It's built right into the BrailleSense, all of our BrailleSense models now. Our 7.0 version, which is currently being tested, scheduled for release at the end of this month, will actually have built-in Google Maps. And that's included, no extra charge. Okay?
Whoa. That's good.
So that's what's being tested. Some people have access to our listserv. If some of you are interested, you can get registered on our listserv and you can observe what users are saying. And some of the beta test comments get released on the listserv as well. And you might see some references to the Google Maps. So it does have Google Map accessibility built right in. And I personally think that that makes the product a lot more useful and adds a lot of value to the Braille Sense U2. In fact, I'm going to use it. It's easier than my using it on my iPhone for me, but of course the Braille Sense U2 is bigger than iPhone, and I don't really need the Braille. So I'm going to try it on our VoiceSense products, which I don't have here today, but that might very well be worthwhile when I'm traveling. What other features would you all like to know? Does it have, because other products have it, or you're wanting to have features? And I can answer yes, no, and if it's on the planning blocks.
This is Rick. I do have a question. For a long time, one of the things that I've been hearing people complain, I've also heard myself complain about it, because I wish we had a spreadsheet. Uh-huh. When are we going to get a spreadsheet in the Braille Sense?
We're looking into that. It's not that easy to do. I know people have reported that the PacMate used to have some limited spreadsheet capability. It's being worked on for our version 7.01. It's one of the specifications. I can't say that it's for sure going to be released in version 7.01, but it's being worked on. So if we can release it, I think it's going to provide, again, another value-added feature. Yeah, that is something that people ask for a lot.
Thinking ahead, will that version be able to import small, not complicated Excel spreadsheets, or is it going to be a proprietary type of a app?
We're trying to have it be Excel. That's the challenge. We're trying to have it be Excel. Everything that HIMSS does, we try to do things with commercially available access, like Google Maps. Instead of, again, using something specialized, we're trying to be mainstream. So, yeah, we're trying to do it with Excel.
I can tell you that spreadsheet would be very welcomed.
Yes.
I've been wishing I had a spreadsheet on the Braille Sense Plus for years. Anyway, I wanted to get back to the Google Maps. If we have the Google Maps, do we still use the Sendero software, or do we use other software?
Yeah, in order to use this, well, you can do either or both. I mean, since Google Maps are built in, you just go onto Google and you access the map as you would, let's say, a cell phone, from a cell phone. But if you want to get the Sendero GPS, you can get the Sendero GPS, and you can operate them individually, independently. So you can have the best of both worlds. If you want to also get the Sendero GPS or transfer the license from your current Braille Sense Plus to your Braille Sense U2.
When you buy this, is the cost of the Sendero software, is that in the maps?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you get the Google Maps, you would not actually pay for Sendero package.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, with Sendero, you'll have to, you do pay. I think it's the retail price is $1,598 if you're a brand new user to get their maps. That's one of our reasons for building into Google Maps is because we built the feature in, the accessibility in, and you download the Google Maps at no charge online from Google. But it's not as extensive. You can't really do all this virtual touring and a lot of the more intricate, pedestrian features that you can with Sendero Maps. Sendero, of course, could explain a lot more to you if you went to their website or you gave them a phone call. They could tell you what Sendero Maps can do for you that Google Maps can't. So I think
if you were using Google Maps, you can still plan a route, right?
You can do a lot with Google Maps, yep.
I see.
Yep. Some people are saying, Sendero's threatened by that, but, it's just technology changes. Sendero will change their model, their business model or their software model as well. But it is probably regarded as the most intricate, GPS maps out there for the blind right now. But there are things that Google Maps can't do, that Sendero can still do that is more oriented for the blind or visually impaired user. Like I say, if you called them, they could tell you a whole lot more, or some other users here would know a whole lot more than I would know about it at this point. But yeah, building in Google Maps, I think, is a big feature since it doesn't cost you anymore. You just buy the BrailleSense U2, and the capability is there. Just download your Google Maps or download your Google directions. One of the other features is we now have a dictionary and a thesaurus that's available. It is an optional $180 to get the dictionary and the thesaurus. You also get with that a choice of one foreign language bilingual dictionary. So that's a promotion that's running until May 31st. That buy the dictionary and thesaurus for $180 and get a choice of one foreign language and no extra charge. And that's a bilingual dictionary.
Connie Gill here. Do you have to have a particular model to get these dictionaries?
No. It's available with... it's going to come... Actually, it came in the version 6.2 firmware that the dictionary and thesaurus is available. So as long as you upgrade to 6.2 or the 7.0, you can buy the dictionary and thesaurus feature.
Also, would you please repeat your toll-free number?
Yes. It is 888-520-4467. It's the Oxford American Concise Dictionary. And the thesaurus is also from Oxford. I'm not sure exactly the version. No. Humanware uses the Oxford Pocket Dictionary. So this is a broader dictionary. Yeah, so you can actually search on the Oxford site, and you'll see what the differences are between the Pocket Dictionary and the American Concise. And the languages that are available right now it's Spanish that's available. But if you want to choose another language, we can put you in a queue that when version 7.0 comes out, French, German, Italian will be released, and probably Arabic as well. Arabic. We have a kind of an interesting story that before the revolution started in Libya, our dealer in the Middle East had just won a contract for 100 BrailleSense units, and he just received a delivery, and the day he was going to ship it out is when their revolution began. So he looks at it two ways. He was lucky he never shipped it out because he probably would never have been paid, but he also looks at himself as being unlucky because he got those 100 units and didn't know what to do with them, and he had to return them to us, which means we were unlucky, not really him. That's where our oil money goes. It's buying BrailleSense for people in the Middle East.
There you go.
Social networking. Maybe you all know we have MSN Messenger. That's been available for a long time. But we have Google Talks and Twitter as part of our social networking features. So not all competitive products have those social networking features. Other questions about capabilities that you want to know whether the BrailleSense has it in it or not? I'm going to generally say that as far as the firmware features are, we compare it basically to the Humanware BrailleNote, Apex, and we compare it to the Balm products. The BrailleSense actually has the most extensive list of features. So if there's something that you think it doesn't do, call tech support and ask. There's a lot of features we don't even publish. When you call tech support, we say, well, there's another way that you can do that that's a lot easier. There's another feature you can do. Instead of tapping a key, you can actually set up a scroll bar, for example, in music. And if you just want to increase the media volume, you can do that, but you don't need to tap, tap, tap on a key. You can actually set up a scroll bar. And that's not explained very well in the manual. Our manual is actually very voluminous. It's being written right now, or rewritten. It's over 500 pages. Basically, every time there was a problem and a technical support solution to it, it was documented and added to the manual. But that made it not very easy reading. It's like having a dictionary in your hand. You got to think, well, what do I want to look up and where can I find it? So it's more like a dictionary than a manual, I would say. So it's being rewritten by Jenny Axler right now, but there are several chapters of audio tutorials available on our website, and our customers have found those really helpful. Ever since we put those up about 4 months ago, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the tutorials. Not only do people like Jenny's voice, but they like the content that she put together and how it's organized. And like I say, you can always call Jenny. One of our users, there's a photograph actually on our website, is Andrea Bocelli. Some of you recognize the name, world-famous Italian opera singer. He actually did a concert, Valentine's Weekend concert in Austin, Texas. So several of us went to the concert, and we met with him the day after and showed him the new BrailleSense U2. And that's where one of his comments was, I have to tap, tap, tap to increase the media volume. And Jenny showed him the scroll bar, and he was so happy. he stood up and he says, Jenny, this deserves a hug. And Jenny got the real Italian hug. and he's really an interesting gentleman. And he's a former lawyer, as many of you may know, and was discovered as a singer. So he wasn't originally, that's not his original career. I didn't know that about him. I thought he was originally a singer. So check out his website. It'll tell you all about it. But I found out a whole lot about him, including I saw a picture of his girlfriend, because in Italy you can't really get divorced officially by the Vatican if you're Catholic. So his girlfriend is going to be having a new baby, and a gift that we gave him was a longhorn beanie from the state capitol in Austin, Texas. And of the three gifts we gave him, he said that's his favorite. He's going to give it to his child. So there's a trade-in program that's available for anyone that has a Humanware or a Freedom Scientific or a HIMSS Braille note taker or Braille display or voice note taker. And there are different levels of trade-ins. So you can read about it on our website. But we do have a trade-in offer until June 30th for anyone that's interested in upgrading to the U2. So you can check that out. By the way, since someone had brought up a question about the on-hand, the BrailleSense on-hand is not a U2. So the BrailleSense U2 models will be the 32-cell note-takers that are the Birkin-style keyboard and the QWERTY-style keyboard. The small on-hand, everyone aware of the on-hand? Probably not. The on-hand is a smaller version of the BrailleSense 32-cell. It's an 18-cell, weighs less than 1 pound, runs on the same firmware, has all of the same firmware features as the full U2 BrailleSense Plus and the U2 models. So it runs on the 6.2, will run on the 7.0, and will run on the 7.01. But it's just a small version. The BrailleSense weighs 2 pounds. The on-hand weighs less than 1 pound. Yeah. You want to know if the price is equivalent to the weight. It's $1,000 less. So the BrailleSense U2 models are $5,995. The on-hand is $4,495. And we also have the VoiceSense Braille keyboard and the VoiceSense QWERTY keyboard models. Those are $1,995 each. But until May 30th, there should be a discount promotion banner posted on our website, hopefully by the end of day tomorrow. There's a special through the end of May that it's $1,695, $300 off. So like I say, look for it when there's specials. Sometimes we know in advance, and if you know someone like me, just say you're from the Bay Area, you're at the CCB Technology Committee meeting, and I'll let you know if there's something coming up next month or not.
Now I want to know about my favorite thing that I'm looking forward to learning about. Am I going to get a full value trade-in for my old clunky Braille display for that one that you guys have released called the Braille Edge 40?
If anyone wants, Debbie can actually pass around the BrailleSense U2. So why don't we do that, Debbie, or Vanna, if you don't mind?
Ooh. Braille made.
Wasn't that from our telesensory days, Roger? Gosh, that's a name from the past.
The single cell anemia tool. Yes.
Yeah, Debbie's taking it out of the case so that you can, you know, feel all of the different ports on the left, right, front, and back. And it does have, you know, all the media buttons across the front. So that's what's across the front primarily are the media buttons. There's a key lock button on the right side. On-off button is in the front right. But you can feel all the buttons. We use the KGS display, Braille display from Japan. So it's the same display that HumanWare uses, in case you're wondering. It's interesting when some people come up and they feel it and they say, oh, I like this other display better. It's funny because it's the same display from the same supplier. I'm not sure what's so different about them. You know, I mean, do the companies really lay the display in so differently that it feels different? It is interesting. What's that, Roger? Context sensitive. Context sensitive, probably. Yep. It's so sometimes the Braille is in your mind and not in your finger. So the Braille Edge, let me talk a little bit about Braille Edge. Braille Edge weighs under 1 pound. It's a 40-cell Braille display. It has basic note-taker capabilities, so it's got a notepad built in. Okay. It does not run on the same firmware, 6.2, 7.0. It's not a full note-taker. But it has some interesting features, and when you pass it around, you can feel them. It does have an SD card slot. So I'm not sure if there's another, I guess, well, if we just speak of the Focus and Focus Blue from Freedom Scientific, we speak of the Brilliant 32 or 40. I don't think any of those models have the SD card slot built in. So this comes with the SD card slot, which means you can just use it as a reader. You don't have to actually be connected. Have something on an SD card, pop it in and read it. You don't have to be connected to the internet or... So it also has, like I say, the notepad features. Let me see what's also part of the note taker. It's a notepad. The applications is actually that it's a notepad. There's a schedule manager, an alarm, a clock, a calculator, stopwatch, and a countdown timer. So that's the special applications for the basic note-taker features. The price is $2,995. I believe it's the same as HumanWare. It's $200 higher than the Focus Blue, which I believe is $2,795. But like I say, it's got the SD card slot, and it's got the basic note-taker features. When I pass it around, you'll see that it has these four buttons, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And those can be used, for example, as your insert, as your windows, as your control, I believe. And I'm not sure of the other button. Was it insert, control? Not sure what that fourth button is. But when you're connected to your PC, you can use it for those functions. When you're connected to an iPhone or an iPad, you use it for your home button, so you don't have to take your hands off the Braille display to hit your iPhone or iPad. It's got these buttons. So you'll see four buttons on your top left, four buttons on your top right in the 12, 3, 6, 9 o'clock positions. We can go ahead and pass this around, too. I could get this connected up, you know, if somebody wanted to try a connection on my iPhone. I've made it compatible with my iPhone. But I don't think I can run them both at the same time. Right now, as Debbie's passing it around, it may be working. I believe the distance is not a problem. So you could, you know, if you know anything about an iPad, you could look around. Debbie, make sure they don't look at that sales forecast. I'll deny that that's the real number. And Debbie can see on the LCD display that's built in. That's another thing that some people do like about the BrailleSense U2 is that it has the built-in display. So someone who's sighted, you know, especially if you're buying it for a child, so there's a, a blind child, and he or she has sighted parents. The parents can interact with the teacher who doesn't know Braille can interact. There's also a deaf. We're also going to be configuring this for the deafblind market with a QWERTY Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard. Sighted person types in on the Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard. The deafblind person types back using the Braille or the QWERTY keyboard of the Braille Sense U2. And there's a visual display on the U2, and that display can be flipped. So if the sighted person is sitting opposite the blind user, it's still right side up for them to read. So we'll be marketing that as a deafblind product. And that's especially more for those of you that may work with people or know someone who's deafblind. Oh, there's a committee. Oh. Then, yeah, we should definitely get this information. Jenny and Scott in our company are the two experts on it. So they're speaking on it. There's some funding coming down from the federal government through the FCC, I believe, specifically for deafblind. Is that it? Yeah, we sat in on a webinar that was put on by Perkins about that a couple of weeks ago. So we're kind of learning about the deafblind market, to be honest. If there's any experts, I know that there's Boppin that works, that's here in San Francisco area. Then he works at the Lighthouse, and he's a longtime Braille Sense user. In fact, he visited our office in Korea a couple of years ago. I'm not sure exactly why he was in Korea, but since he was there, he contacted HIMSS International Corporation and actually visited with them. So, and if any of you are in Korea, you can feel free to contact us, and we'll coordinate your visit. We actually have a dealer whose, I think, daughter went to Korea with some dance group. And, yeah, we coordinated the visit, and so they wrote the trip off. business expense. we can pass out the Braille Sense or the Braille Edge 40 if you want.
What is the battery life of the Braille Edge?
Braille Edge, 20 hours.
All right.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, and the batteries user replaceable. On both products, batteries user replaceable. The price on the Braille Edge, $29.95, like I mentioned. So maybe I'll just pass around. I'll start at the far left end.
How long has the Braille Edge been? Or let me rephrase that. Did you say that it was just released today, or has it been out? And if it has been out, how have people been receiving it as far as it being a Braille display that provides accessibility to the iOS market?
Actually, the Braille Edge was originally announced in January at the ATIA conference. I think it was the 27th or 28th of January. No, it was the 26th. 26th is when it was announced. It actually began shipping last week, Thursday. So the first group shipped last Thursday. How has it been received by the iOS group? I'm going to tell you, not so well, because most people had already upgraded their iPhones and iPads to iOS 5.1. So they're actually waiting, but they have seen it. Almost every purchaser has actually seen it working with 5.0. So I don't really have feedback about how it's working in the iOS world. But it's been well-received. From our point of view, it looks like it's well-received because we've not really been a player in the Braille display market. We've been a real player in the Braille note-taker market, but not the Braille display market. Previous to this, we only had a 20-cell Braille display called Sync Braille. But Sync Braille was no longer never did work with Bluetooth. And that was one of its major disadvantages in the market, and the Sync Braille has now been discontinued. We probably are going to put a project on our project development list to develop a fewer cell Braille display, but have no idea when that could come out. At this point, since it's not started yet, I'm going to say it definitely cannot be introduced in 2012. It would be a 2013 product if it makes the cut for product development. And July 1st is when our engineers begin working on new projects. So I don't think we're going to see. There's two more new products coming out this year from HIMSS. But I think anything that's not already in development is not going to make it in 2012. Other questions about everyone familiar with HIMSS? Any questions about HIMSS? Previously, it was distributed through GW Micro. Okay, so if anybody kind of needed that baseline to orient. In November of 2010 is when HIMSS decided to open its own wholly owned subsidiary in the U.S. market, and it was opened in Austin, Texas. Austin is a really nice city. Any of you into music? A lot of blind people are into music, right? Come to Austin. If you go to the Austin website, the official Austin website, they mark themselves as the live music capital of America. I've never been in a town that has more music and cultural events going on every weekend. You just, if you drove from one event to another, you couldn't make them all. It's a friendly town. If someone's not originally from Texas, my next guess is, are you from California? it's so friendly. I'm used to, you know, people walking by and not saying hello. I mean, there are people say hello, and I'm like, you talking to me? I had to get used to that. But it's a nice town. It's small geographically. Mass transit's not good if you're thinking of moving there. We're in a nice part of town, brand new building in a business park. The only bad thing is for our blind employees, the mass transit's not good. But otherwise, we built out our own office, plenty of space, warehouse space, so we have a lot of growth plans. We also introduced a CCTV last year called Lifestyle. So if you see one, one of our dealers will be here. Freedom Vision is a dealer for the Lifestyle in the Bay Area.
That should work.
Out in
I don't know if that's
Peter?
True.
You're here?
Bring it in here.
Oh, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Somebody has a question. They want to get up here and talk. This is what they use right here.
There's no one in our room.
Somebody's having fun with the microphone someplace.
Out in the Sacramento area, IRTI, Peter Prasha and his company are the dealers for the Lifestyle. And are you all familiar with BookSense as a Daisy player? If you're not, visit the IRTI booth here at the show. And Peter Prasha will have the BookSense. We have three models, BookSense Standard, BookSense XT, and BookSense DS. You know, some of the features of BookSense that people like is it uses NeoSpeech. It doesn't use Nuance, as many of them use. It uses NeoSpeech. So it's it's one of those context things like Roger says. Depends how your ear hears it. Go right ahead.
Also, if I may say so, I have the XT version, and I have the hands-free speech recognition software, and I've shown it to some people who have certain level of dexterity or hand control movement, and they like the idea of being able to give it voice commands to use it. So it's probably the first digital book player that doesn't require somebody to have to deal with buttons and menus. It can just tell it what it wanted to do.
It's not a very intelligent, you know, you have to know what the command is, but they're pretty intuitive. You know, if you wanted to play music, you say, BookSense, play music. And it will go to your music folder. And it'll play either the first one in your folder, it'll automatically start playing it, or it will play the last one that was played. If you want to stop it, you do have to press a button to stop it. Out of 120 functions, 117 can be controlled by your voice. Only the power on, the stopping of a book being read or stopping of music being played, that has to be done manually by pressing the asterisk button on the keypad, and the key lock to lock your keys when you're traveling. You don't want it to turn on and use your battery. Those are the only three functions that are not voice command driven. So that'll be interesting for you to try out as well. But the book senses look more like a cell phone. And we do have some interesting new features coming out later this year that are in development, very mainstream kinds of features that we'll be adding to the BookSense. And again, even with BookSense, like with the BrailleSense and VoiceSense, all firmware updates are downloaded at no charge.
I have a question regarding the Braille Edge. And having not seen it, having not played with it yet, I was down at the CSUN conference, and oddly enough, did not get a chance to play with it. I checked out the Braille. I thought it was pretty cool. But I neglected to check one thing that I find to be very useful. Does the configuration of it have shift keys that I can work with, or do I have to use key code commands to simulate upper and lower case?
Jenny, where are you when I need you?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave that one for Jenny. I have a 50-50 chance, but I don't want to provide wrong information. I'll get Jenny to send you an email on that one.
Okay, that'd be great.
And anyone else who wants to know,
and
yeah, just call us.
If it doesn't have it, is there a potential to get that added and have a modification done to it to make it happen? Because
I would say
for
so.
Some of us who have left the talking on the phone type of business traffic and now do everything through texting. Sometimes when I'm texting, I find it to be much easier to not have to bother with the cord key commands. If I can just use the shift key to put in the uppercase letter that I need or word that I want to make sure that it's emphasized or what have you, and seems to be working much more successfully. And I seem to find that the translation and the potential for problems or having the text message get totally screwed up is minimal, and would like to see that more readily available in other products, including the Braille H40.
It's good points. I'll get you that answer from Jenny.
Okay.
So I know both products are being shown around. Yes, go ahead and shout the question out. We could probably hear you.
It might be, the mute. Oh, somebody had put the mute button on. This is Judy Wilkinson again. Could you say what your third book sense? I heard you say DS, and I know the XT has the radio and stuff, but what's DS?
Yeah, the book senses are standard. Then the XT, and so I'll explain the DS based on, you know, kind of the migration. So the BookSense standard is our $349 model. It has no built-in memory. It operates on SD cards. It can take SD cards now up to 64 gigabytes. It does not have the radio. It does not have Bluetooth. It does not have a visual display. Correct. The features are more comparable to Victor Reader Stream, which is at a similar price. Then the XT, we've added Bluetooth, which is the main reason people seem to want the XT. We added the FM radio capability, and it has 4 gigabytes of onboard memory. And we also provide that one with an SD card. I think it's a 2 gig SD card. And then the DS, which is not higher than the XT, it's just different. The basic and the XT have the same, they look the same. Visually, you tell them apart by the color of the back cover. The basic is a red back cover. The XT is a white or off-white back cover. That's the only way to tell them apart visually. The DS is different. It's smaller. It's lighter. It's white and blue colored. It has a visual display, so if you have enough vision to see up to a 12-point font size of print, you can actually follow what's being spoken because it has a visual display on the screen. That visual display was actually originally put on there for learning disabilities and dyslexic consumers, but I think that was not a successful strategy because they need a larger screen. And they need a bigger font size for many of them. Even though it was a color LED screen, and it did give some good color, so maybe, you know, changing the color of the font or having a highlighted color in the background with a black lettering, you know, is beneficial. The screen's just too small. So I won't say it's not a successful product as an LD or a dyslexia product. But you know, we had to give up the Bluetooth in order to put the screen in. So you get the screen, but you don't get the Bluetooth. You still have the FM radio. You still have the 4 gig of built-in RAM. And it is smaller and lighter. And I believe all three models will be here at the IRTI booth. And I'm going to leave the U2 and the Edge here at the IRTI booth. These are prototype models. So if you notice playing with it, there's a few bugs. It could be a prototype model, prototype effect. You know, if you are serious in purchasing one, any problems you notice, you can feel free to call Jenny, ask Jenny if that's been solved. But these are running version 6.2 firmware. So, and it's the latest firmware. Jenny updated it before I flew out here yesterday. Yes.
Steve Mendelson here. I'm wondering with respect to the LCD feature for a visual readout, can that be turned off for someone who wants privacy?
Yes. You can turn the screen on or off. And same thing with the visual display on a U2. Yeah, you can turn that. So the BookSense DS, you can turn that screen off, and the U2, you can turn that screen off. The BrailleSense On Hand, by the way, does not have the built-in display, but it has an external LCD display that connects by a USB cable, and that's a $99 option on the On Hand. But yes, the displays can be turned off. And it saves your battery, too, when you turn the display off. Okay. I'm going to probably be here a little bit on Friday, a little bit on Saturday, too. But if Peter Prosh is at the booth, Peter knows our products quite well. He was at the CSUN training for our dealers. So he was trained in a session that Jenny was at. And actually, Peter and our dealer, Steve Barkley from Aroga, were participants in our dealer session, and I would put them at the two top of the class. So, of our dealers, we had about a dozen dealers in training, and so Peter's pretty up on our products. So you can ask him most questions. Okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe I can find something out, updated information from our office tomorrow, and maybe I could deliver them some information.
I'll be sure.
Oh, you will be? Okay. That's right. You have a little bit of vision, hearing loss, too, isn't it, Roger? One ear? Hey. When a friend of mine and I were... I grew up in Hawaii. I had a tough life. I grew up in Hawaii, in Honolulu. When I was 9 years old, a friend of mine and I were on the bus going right through downtown Honolulu, and we saw this sign in a store. I had vision until I was 17, and it said, come in for your free hearing test. Well, being rascal kids, we got off the bus, walked in. No sooner did we walk in, the owner said, what are you kids here for? We said, what? And we got about 5 or 6 what's, you know, before he kicked us out. Pidgin is my first language, that's right. I have a book on how to speak pidgin. If anybody ever wants to borrow it, we'll float it around. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. So now you folks know about the HIMSS products and the HIMSS note takers, and especially the Braille displays. I can tell you that as a user, I have to carry the other Braille display with me, since Apple hasn't released that. But I'm looking forward to having my BookSense, my BrailleSense, travel with me wherever I go. Convenient tool, very very functional tool, but sometimes because of the attempt to try and do things and meet deadlines, things happen, and unfortunately, this is something that was not foreseen, and so. But I'm sure that once the patch has been released, everything should be back to normal with regards to using your HIMSS products with
your I/O devices, whether it be your iPhone, your iPad, or your even with your Macs, because the Braille Sense I use very heavily with my Mac all the time, and so you know it's not just the iPhone or the iPad that it gets a workout with that Braille display. It's my Apple laptop, MacBook Pro is always in meetings. The last thing I want to have is to have the screen reader have Alex competing with the bosses. And, you know, it's doesn't make for a good PR thing. So usually I turn off the I mute the voice and just use the Braille display, and I'm very impressed with how simple and easy it is to just do everything I need to do. So thank you, James, for coming out. And folks, give him a big hand, please. Thank you. And I encourage you guys to go by IRTI and look at some of these products. I have the Book Sense, and I have the XC. I have the... I'm a music junkie, and I got a 32 gig card full of music. So, you know, it's a great tool, and it's got a nice equalizer that's very easy to operate. And that's a good thing about it. It's very intuitive and very straightforward. So, all right. Well, folks, you know, this is where I don't even know what time it is right now. Come on, Roger. What time is it, Roger? 4:15. So this is about the time when I ask you guys, if there's something that you need me to look into, or is there something that you want to see for the fall convention, or a question that you might have that Roger can answer. So, Bernice, are you aware that your CCCLV meeting? Okay, for those of you that are interested and want to see more on technology and want to learn about Zoom Text, Peninsula One is going to be where it's going to be at. It's not here, so where is the Peninsula One, Bernice? Okay, so, all right. I'm sure that somebody can also direct you outside if you need help. I'm going to be here. I will answer questions, but we're scheduled to be out of here by 4 o'clock. If you don't have any questions or any comments, I will be talking to you soon.
If anybody wants a print brochure, I can give you a print brochure to, you know, to scan, you know, or you can pick one up at the IRTI booth.
Okay, well, thank you very much.